The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now it's time to answer your gardening questions. I'm joined by Paul Smith, head gardener at Belfield Garden in Offaly. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, this is a great time of year for observing the plants as they change. The leaves falling off the trees, the last of the apples clinging on until the next gale, and wonderful colour everywhere.
Yeah, the autumn colour at this time of the year is just fantastic. I drove down from the airport here into the Midlands on Sunday, and along the hedgerows all the way down are just beautiful colours, all the butter yellows and the russety red tones. Everywhere you look, there's just so much autumn colour. It's that beautiful time of year. Everything is still looking good and the weather hasn't been too bad. It's been reasonably nice and we can appreciate that kind of autumnal glow as you drive around the country.
Now, there is chemistry involved in all of this.
Yeah. Now, I am a gardener, not a chemist, but I'll give a very brief explanation to it. So basically, what makes a plant green is chlorophyll. Chlorophyll, you've probably all heard it in your basic science classes. That's what keeps them green. And at this time of the year, the chlorophyll starts to break down. And that's when other chemicals become more dominant. The likes of carotene, so like carrots, the orange you get in carrots is what makes them orange, and anthocyanin. And these are the chemicals that become more present in the leaves. And they're the reasons that we have these lovely reds and yellows and browns and oranges. And then sunshine is an important factor in that too. So you'll notice in a sunnier part of the country, so more further down south, the red tones are always more pronounced, particularly in the anthocyanins and that, because it's just more pronounced where it has extra sun. So the sunnier and the drier it is, the more pronounced your autumn colour will be.
We have a lovely Acer in the garden and its colour change is very dramatic.
Yeah, they're one of the really good ones. Any of the maples, but the Japanese maples in particular, Acer palmatum, they're really fantastic. They can have lovely red leaves in the summer, and then as this time of year comes on, they just look better and better and better. There's other ones too. We actually have a native Acer, believe it or not, the field maple, Acer campestra, and that is equally good, but instead of having those lovely red tones, it has a lovely deep butter yellow and a really fantastic specimen tree if you have the space in your garden.
So we don't have the dramatic kind of colour changes that they have in North America, particularly on the northern states in America, where the fall literally, the things fall off very rapidly. The colour change is very rapid and people even go on fall tours to look at the colours.
Yeah, believe it or not, it's a phenomenon, you could call it. It's a small industry, but something called leaf peeping. So it's a tourism attraction, I suppose, particularly, as you say, Northern America, Southern Canada, along there, up in the mountains, outside of New York even. You don't have to go far, but people will travel out to the countrysides, to the wooded hills to look at the colour change. And out there, their native trees are a little bit more dramatic when it comes to colour change. Some of our native trees aren't as dramatic here in Ireland, but they have some beautiful things and you can go out and look at them, and people do. They go out in their droves. So like as people watch planes, it's a similar idea.
Now, the questions are flooding in for you, Paul. First one, I have strawberry plants in the ground that have spread. When and how is the best time to move them to pots? And the same for raspberry stalks. That's from Sean.
Yeah, both of them are very prolific and when they're happy, they will spread no problem. Good time of year to do it is now. If you dig them up now, they might just get a little bit of root in before the winter really kicks in. If you're in any doubt or if you don't have time, probably better to leave it until the spring. Strawberries will send runners, so like long stringy things from the leaves as they grow. And from those runners, you'll get new baby plants. And it's actually better to keep replacing your strawberries every few years because they become less and less productive as they get old. And raspberries, they sucker underground. A little bit more problematic. You want to make sure your raspberries are contained, but now is a great time of year to move them and put them somewhere else. And when you do move them, chop your raspberries back hard, otherwise they'll get knocked over in the autumn wind.
Now, it's almost unseasonably mild at the moment, but question, how do I protect my plants from the first frost, whenever that might be?
Yeah, great question. And the first frost, we actually already had a slight frost down here in Offaly, but we're in the Midlands, that bit colder than on the coastal areas here. But frost is inevitable. A couple of weeks' time, we'll probably have a decent frost. The best thing to do, firstly, you don't need to protect everything. You only need to protect plants that obviously need to be, like if you have a banana or maybe a tree fern, something like that. You can use horticultural fleece. If it's something like a tree fern, you can actually wrap it up in some dried straw. You can protect it using kind of cloches of plastic or glass. It all depends what you're trying to protect. if possible, dig up the plant and bring it in. Dahlias, we have lots of dahlias here. We actually dig up the tubers in the next couple of weeks and bring them in, dry them out, and kind of store them in a frost-free place. So it depends what you're protecting, but there's loads of methods depending on what the plant is.
Next one, when do I stop cutting my grass before the winter?
The answer is really, you don't have to stop until the grass stops growing, which is a very open-ended answer, I know. But grass grows, as you said, it's unseasonably mild. And as a result, the grass has been growing and growing. So as long as it grows, you can keep cutting it. I would recommend that you raise the height of the lawnmower a little bit at this time of the year. And also make sure you take the leaves off. People forget the leaves on the lawn. They look lovely, but leave them on for a couple of weeks and they'll actually damage your grass. So keep cutting until you really notice a dramatic reduction in the amount that you're taking off of the grass.
Now this one, my neighbor's tree overhangs my flower bed. Can you advise what are the best plants I can plant as most plants don't seem to thrive under the tree? Obviously doesn't want to have a row with the neighbor about chopping down the offending branches, wants to rather plant something that will survive the shade.
Yep. So what you need there are woodland shade-loving plants. What you need there really are dry shade plants. And dry shade are one of those things in gardening terms, people get filled with fear, but it's not a problem. It can actually be a lovely place to grow things. Lots of ferns will grow very well. Dryopteris ferns, the clue is in the name, Dryopteris will grow well in dry areas. Epimediums, they're lovely things for ground covering. You can get vincas, which are evergreen ground covering things, which will cover a vast area if you let them. And lots of the spring bulbs. So think of perennial cyclamens, snowdrops, daffodils, all of those spring bulbs, they thrive in areas like that. So there's lots of options for a place like that.
I have two climbing roses, one starting to grow well and now suddenly has stopped. The other rose just didn't grow at all. Both getting the same sun, the same water. Is there anything I can do to push them to grow?
There are. I mean, if they're getting absolute equal treatment, it may be just unlucky where one is planted. There could be something in the ground, you know, from previous owners, from previous things. Possibly, there is a thing called rose replant disease. And that means if there was already a rose planted in one of those areas and you plant a new rose, the old rose kind of emits chemicals, which actually stops another rose from growing well. And to really get that rose to thrive, you'll have to dig out the area to about a meter squared and put in new soil. It's an awful lot of work. But you really need to take away that soil and replace it with fresh soil. I would probably recommend doing that because if everything else is identical, sounds like there's a bigger problem with the soil there. So you need to take it all out, add some fresh soil, and hopefully that other rose will start going, and a good feed, of course.
Amanda says, I've been emptying some apparently empty containers of their soil and I found a whole lot of bulbs. I'd forgotten I had daffodils and hyacinths over the last spring in these containers, but how now can I tell the difference between the bulbs? Which is which?
Ooh, that's a challenge, especially on a radio, but I'll give it a go. Certain things have what we call a tunic or an outer layer. Certain bulbs, I should say, have a tunic or outer layer to them. Daffodils in particular, like an onion that you buy in the shop, you know, that kind of outer dry layer that you have them. Bluebells, they don't tend to have that. They tend to be white. Daffodils tend to be quite large and they have a lighter colored tunic. Tulip bulbs tend to be much bigger and they have a much darker tunic. But I mean, it's not an easy thing to identify. The crocus tend to be very small and flat bulbs. Snowdrops tend to be kind of smaller versions of daffodils, but it's going to be a challenge. The best thing to do is sort them out into what you think are all similar varieties and then plant them in groups and see how you get on. It's not an easy thing, I'm afraid.
And if you're stuck, go to Dr. Google and see what you get.
Yeah.
Just got my garden done. Looking to plant creepers on a flat facing part of the soil that grass seeds won't adhere to. What would be the best type of creeper to plant in this situation?
So I've already mentioned the vinca. Vinca minor or vinca major. Both of them are great ground covering evergreen plants. They have a bit like a strawberry. They put out long runners, and when they're happy, they're quite compact too. They don't grow up tall, so they can be really good for a bank or something like that, where grass won't grow particularly well. I think I've mentioned before the Californian lilac or ceanothus is another nice one. Any plant that has the word prostrate or repens in the name, that means that they're kind of a spreading plant. So look for those out. Cotoneaster or horizontalis again.
Okay, a final one now, Paul. How can I transplant a rose bush? It's 2 years old and it's in a pot.
So now is a great time to do it. Dig a deep hole. When you're planting roses, make sure that you plant them very, very deep. People always plant them too high. Plant your rootstock really deep. Let the root of it grow. And also when you're pruning it, we always say let your worst enemy prune your roses. So prune it hard. You will sacrifice the flowers for the first year, but ultimately you'll get a much better and much healthier plant into the future.
Paul Smith, head gardener at Belfield Garden in Offaly. Paul, thank you very much for answering our listener question.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.